Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 42. We had a people have been asking. We did take last week off. So we're back, ready to go. No Nick today, sadly. He's got some sort of business thing, work-related, got in the way, which I think he needs to find a new job.
Maybe he can make a living podcasting.
Oh, hey, if only we could.
Yeah, I quit.
But
Kevin Smith does it.
That's how he makes his friends living.
Sarcasm, guys.
There you go.
Sarcasm.
But we're just going to kind of just talk about whatever we want to talk about. No real structure. Just more BSing about comics, which is kind of what the whole point of this was. So, we'll start around the table. To my left, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics.
Adam Russell.
Joe F.
Matt Lytle.
Jeremy Dan.
And we're just here to BS. So, who wants to go first?
I'll start. So this past week, I read Superior by Mark Miller and Lena Liu. Did any of you guys read that?
I read the first couple issues, and then it was like 6 months between three and four, so I stopped reading it.
Mark Miller's one of those guys that writes for the final product. He writes for the trade.
That is why I'm reading everything he does in trade from that one.
Not a bad idea. Although he also writes for the movie, as I took note
no
of
kidding.
While I was reading this.
That's how you read books anyways, right?
By in trade. I read everything in the collected edition. Good pickup, Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the writers that we think of as A-list know the techniques of writing comics so well, and that's what makes them brilliant. You know, like anybody that talks about Watchmen, they say Alan Moore just knew the intricacies of the mechanics of making comics work. Okay, but reading Superior, it's clear that Mark Miller's targeting this as being the pitch for an eventual movie. Anyway, but I love Superior. Actually, wait, back up, Mark Miller. If you guys don't know him. I started reading him when he was doing The Authority. He did Superman, Red Sun, one of the most critically acclaimed Superman stories. He did The Ultimates, one of the most critically acclaimed Avengers stories, and followed up that work with Old Man Logan, Enemy of the State, Marvel Knights Spider-Man, Civil War, Wanted,
Nemesis. Do you really call
Ultimates
critically acclaimed?
The Ultimates? That's a whole nother podcast, but the Ultimates were awesome.
I guess Ultimates were. Ultimates 2 was not critically acclaimed.
Ultimates 2 kind of suffered from the same thing you're saying, where there was so much lag between issues.
And so did Old Man Logan, to
so
be
did
honest.
Ultimates.
Yeah,
so did,
you know
so
what,
did
anybody,
most of his projects.
You know what, though? They still sell, and if you read them as a package at the end, brilliant. Anyway.
And he did this stuff for Boom, right?
I don't know.
No, that's Mark Wade.
No.
Who did Incognito and Irredeemable? Wade.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, I loved Superior. I thought it was awesome. It's Mark Miller's real-world take on Superman and also Shazam / Captain Marvel. Kick-Ass was Spider-Man in a real-world setting. Nemesis was Batman in a real-world setting. And now this is Superman in a real-world setting. The Lena Liu art was awesome. Lena Liu finally back with an inker. When he did Secret Invasion, I thought his artwork suffered not having an inker with him. I thought it looked a little bit sketchy, and with this there was an inker. It turned out awesome. The thing that I love most about Superior was that it really examined the whole American idea of getting superpowers, just kind of like falling into superpowers and thinking like, oh man, what a blessing, I've got these superpowers, just fell backwards into these superpowers, this is wonderful. But it really examined that idea and looked at it at how it could have been a curse.
Okay.
Kind of like Ultimate Spider-Man.
What do you
Ultimate
mean?
Spider-Man 2, Miles Morales.
Uh-huh.
Who? Oh.
I haven't been following that. What are you talking
he
about?
Was not very receptive to his powers and didn't want to use them. And his sidekick, so to speak, was the one that kept pushing him to use it and become Spider-Man, whereas he just wanted to kind of pretend that it never happened.
Mm. Interesting.
In Adam's world, he did continue to pretend it never happened. Miles Morales doesn't exist in Adam's world.
Yeah.
I don't know this Miles Morales.
How long do you think until the TV version of Spider-Man coincides with Miles Morales?
Hopefully never.
I don't think it will. I think that'd be difficult.
Yeah, they're launching the new book, and it's Peter Parker, which just seems very odd.
The new cartoon.
Yeah. And then
the new book.
Oh, sorry. New cartoon. Well, and a new book based on the cartoon.
There's a Marvel Adventures style book.
Yeah, that was a story on Bleeding Cool. Shout out, new listeners.
Ultimate Marvel Bleeding Cool Spider-Man Adventure. It's got a really weird
maybe before
title.
Maybe we should talk about that next.
Sure.
Why? Yeah.
Does Mark Miller sell like he used to?
Not like he used to. Definitely the lateness has definitely hurt him where people will... Does the
fact that he writes movie pitches now instead of comics hurt him? That's what turned me off to Mark Miller. Is I loved him up through Civil War. Then he stopped writing Marvel DC to write indie, which I have no problem with. But it's like all of his stuff. It's like the day issue one comes out, they announce the movie deal.
I've always had a problem with him for that exact reason.
Don't you think there's a value to that though, Adam? The idea that he's not doing thought balloons and he's not narrating everything.
Because
a more cinematic storytelling.
This is comic books.
Yeah.
The problem is comic book storytelling. when you look at something like Kick-Ass, the movie was done in between issues of the book. And the book started, they sold the pitch, and before the final comic had come out, the movie was done. And sadly, it wasn't monthly. It became so late because of that, and I think that's kind of what he does. He has the pitch, it comes out.
He has brilliant ideas, but it's like, what is it that he used to say, all idea, no follow through.
Yeah. But the lateness certainly does hurt.
Yeah, it's kind of funny with Kick-Ass. I liked the movie a lot better than I liked the book. And I don't know if they added more into that, or as you said, like, it was timing. The timing was different on making
it. It took so long.
It just seemed like one part that I really just didn't like about the book as opposed to the movie was Big Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
They changed his character of who he really was completely around in the movie, and I liked how they did it in the movie. In the book, he was an accountant, and he just liked comic books, so he just had to be a superhero. I liked the movie's idea better, where they actually made him a police officer who was messed over by this, because it gave him a point. Right. Why was he doing this, you know? So, I don't know. I think, you know, also it was just how he wrote it at the same time, and I don't know if he had any say on that, but I don't know. It seems like when he does that and he's writing for movies, it doesn't turn out the same way. So,
being a cop is a lot faster to explain than an accountant getting superpowers, right? Because you have six issues to tell a movie. You have like two and a half equivalent, would be my guess.
Well, the thing I find funny now, too, is, you know, speaking with Mark Miller and lateness, is now they're announcing the movie deals so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had what? 4 or 5 books that have come out that they've...
And he has two new ones coming, and it's a little scary.
And it's like they've made one movie.
Something.
They made Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
Everything else is like...
I don't know how much he had to do with it. I mean, I think he was a driving force behind Kick-Ass. I think Wanted was something that had been out for a while before they made it into a movie.
But he was so excited to get the deal that they were a little bit quicker to release the rights. But he was credited as a producer on Kick-Ass, and his influence comes through because Kick-Ass was very close to the book. If you think about the changes the studio could have made, I mean, the little deviations and the change at the end was not that different from the book. Wanted, man, was Wanted off the rails.
Yeah, Wanted had, I mean, other than the character names... And bending the bullet really had nothing to do with the
shooting
bullet.
The wings off the fly, though. I'm glad they kept that. That was the
but I just mean, like, you know, it's like, you know, Superior, Nemesis, Super Crook. Like, all these books, he drops the number one. Hey, there's a movie deal.
Yeah.
And the only movie that's come out so far, you know, since he shifted his business practices to this, you know, creator-owned, movie-driven thing, he's had one movie. So it's like...
You're wrong, Jeremy. Listen. This is good for comics, all right? This is showing the public that comics are not just superheroes. Comics are not just bubblegum. Comics are not just Superman standing up with his chest out, the shining ideal of hope. This is showing that there's real-world, modern-day problems, modern-day storylines, and mature storylines in the comics.
One problem I have is just their publishing model where the books come out so infrequently, so you get the people who wait for the trade,
and then it comes out as a hardcover. Well, no, but then it comes out as a hardcover, and they're like, oh, I'll wait for the paperback, or even worse, what happened with Kick-Ass is the hardcover sold out, and we didn't have the product to sell when the movie was in the theater, and then the paperback comes three, four months later, and the interest is gone. Yeah, people so moved on to by doing that, I mean, if they came out with the paperback right away, I could probably sold a ton of superior paperbacks. 4 months from now, when it comes out, people are going to be completely on to something
that's
else.
That's not his fault.
It's an that's icon Marvel's book. Fault. It's an icon book. He has complete control over when it ships.
Does he?
Yeah.
I thought it was just imprint no, icon Marvel stuff. Completely controlled.
I don't.
I mean,
think
that's what's turned me off to him is his business model for like the last 5 years has just been kind of atrocious and not my thing. It's one of those things where, you know, the infrequency, it's like he gives you a number one, you don't know when it's going to finish, you don't know if there'll be a movie, and all he's talking about is the movie. I'm like,
I don't like when they give him a book to write and he puts a bunch of realism into it and it doesn't need it.
No, please.
Like, I can understand what he's making his own projects like Kick-Ass or something. It has a point. But when he wrote Ultimates, they put real celebrities and people in it.
Put Samuel L. Jackson in it.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't know if that was totally him, because he was in that book since Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh, was he?
Nick Fury, yeah.
Fury appear in Ultimate Spider-Man Bendis,
before
the Ultimate?
That's a good question.
Bendis and Miller are credited with creating the whole universe.
Yeah.
So they did it jointly. So
yeah, they had it. I mean, Ultimate Spider-Man was out way before the Ultimates came out, and then Ultimate X-Men came out right after it. But in the Ultimates, they had Betty, and Hulk was just mad because Betty was on a date with Freddie Prinze Jr.
Way to
date your book.
And I thought that was just like, oh my goodness.
Who would have thought 10 years later Freddie Prinze Jr. would not have a career?
He's married to Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Who doesn't have a career?
She's in some new movie, actually.
He's a good writer. I love, you know, Civil War is good.
You
Old
know
Man
what?
Logan
I,
good,
I didn't.
But I just.
I didn't enjoy Civil War when it came out. Like, reading it in issues.
What didn't you like
the
about
ending
it?
Wasn't good.
I don't know.
The year between 6 and 7?
Yeah, it took a while for that.
Yeah, that.
Wasn't that a bi-monthly book anyway? Then?
No, it
I
had,
wasn't scheduled to be. I don't
there believe. Were there were two there be. Were two significant delays. There was a 6 and 7, and then was it 3 to 4 or 4 to 5? There were two delays that were like really huge.
I'll tell you what, that book, that series, the Civil War, had a lot of good minis and books that went with it.
Well, and it was such a great novel idea.
Yeah, and you know what? It's a lot better in trade, reading it all at once. And you know what? A lot of Marvel events are better in trade.
I agree.
A lot
that.
Better in trade.
A lot of Marvel stories are better
in
trade.
He has good ideas. I think he's caught in this Hollywood thing now.
Yeah, and I...
It's like Mark Miller's version of Batman that's not Batman. Mark Miller's version of Superman that's not Superman.
And you know what?
I just assume he writes Superman and Batman, or if he's going to go all creator-owned, go back to when he was doing that crazy Jesus book where he tried to make Jesus a superhero. Remember
that
from
awesome.
Millerverse?
No, what book was that?
Yeah.
It was when called? Wanted was coming out.
Is that what it was called? Chosen?
Yeah. There is a Chosen 2 in the pipeline.
Is that in trade?
Oh, it's like 10 years old.
Because Jesus as a superhero sounds hilarious.
Did he have a cape?
Jesus hates zombies.
Yeah, he was on a...
He had sandals.
Jesus kills zombies.
Yeah. But I mean, he did five different creator books, and he did it in this huge burst. It was when he did Wanted.
Did it take
place?
But they
were all original. But it's like the stuff he's done in the last 4 years has been like his take on stuff as opposed to original stuff.
Did it take place when Jesus was alive?
I never read it.
No, it was modern day.
Modern day.
And a kid somehow determines he's reincarnated Jesus. It's been so long since I read it, I can't remember it exactly, but there was a really cool twist at the end. Okay.
He wasn't Jesus?
That's another thing that I... Yeah, actually. Anyway, something I love about... But you don't know who he is until the end. Anyway, something I love about Mark Miller is he's the master of the everything you know is wrong twist. Okay? So you go through the whole book thinking he's Jesus, and then something else comes up.
So what I wonder lately, is he really just bad at writing movie pitches? And he writes these movie pitches for, like, Kick-Ass and Superior, and they fail. So he goes, all right, I'm going to throw out an Icon book, get some popularity behind it, and then they'll want the movie. Like, do you think it just, it happens to
be... I feel like it's, like, the same time, just because of how they're delayed. I feel like he's writing for some company, and they bring it out as a comic in between, and then bring out a movie. That seems
so,
like,
I mean,
like marketing type deal. More of a marketing type
Yeah, I don't mind if he wants to develop movies. That seems to be where his head's at these days. That, I don't mind. I just, you know, tying it into a comic book is just...
Well,
it's one of those things that irritates me.
Or just do the book and then the movie, or something.
Yeah. Or do, like, the whole book, if you're going to pitch it as a, you know...
Yeah.
Like, hey, I wrote this comic, and it's going to be a movie.
Well, at least we don't have to worry about him writing for DC anytime soon.
Why not?
Well, they have to be on time.
Oh. They don't let him keep the rights, either. They don't accept creator-owned titles.
Isn't that what Vertigo's for?
Nope. Nobody owns... Not even Jason... Jason Aaron doesn't own Scalped.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Scott Snyder doesn't own American Vampire.
But I think a lot of... jumping back into the conversation, because I thought about something. I think a lot of Marvel right now is getting into the movie craze, though, a little more. I mean, they have the most successful of
you
the...
You mean like Brian Michael Bendis' Avengers Assemble book?
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, he seems to be doing that a lot. He's also getting... Isn't he a writer on this new cartoon?
He is...
Makes
no,
sense.
No, that's Christos Gage.
He's something.
He's
to
something
it,
to
he's
the cartoon.
Is it... No, or is it... It's Christopher Yost.
Yost, I think.
Yost is the guy that does the animation.
Anybody looking forward to that cartoon?
I'll check it out.
I think I will, too.
What did you guys think of Green Lantern this weekend?
I didn't get a chance to watch
it. Joe, are you done with your...
What are we talking about?
I didn't want to change topics from where you are unless you were ready.
Technically,
let's go
I did.
The, let's go around the table. Who liked Superior? I give it a thumbs up.
I didn't...
I would have to reread it all at once.
You didn't read it?
Okay, so you're going to abstain? Didn't read?
I didn't read it.
Okay, so the consensus is thumbs up.
That's not fair. We're going
to
say, we didn't read it, thumbs
Green
down.
Lantern, on to Green Lantern.
Wait, whoa.
I mean, I'd
it's a
probably like it if I read it, because I usually, I mean, he's a good writer, so it would probably be an enjoyable enough read, but I'm not going to go out of my way to read it.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, it's not that I don't like him, he's just not my, you know, well, I guess I don't like him, but
yeah,
he's not really my taste. It's nothing against, like, him.
So okay. What you're saying is he's a good writer, you just don't like his writing.
Yeah, I can't say anything horrible about his writing because it's not bad. Like I like the book Kick-Ass. I thought it was a pretty good book.
It's about Robbie Williams.
No.
Robbie Williams.
What?
I love Mark Miller. I love his work. His work is my taste. Plus, I met him at the Wizard World Big Apple show 2 years ago, and he was a true gentleman in person. He talked about going to the Marvel offices, and he talks with this thick Scottish accent.
Oh yeah,
he is Scottish.
Did he buy you breakfast in the morning?
No.
The way you're talking about
quiet. He did buy.
He's not even an artist, so it's not like he could do a sketch for Joe that meant the whole world to him either.
That's why I had to buy him breakfast.
He talks with this thick Scottish accent, and he is like he was saying. Go into the Marvel offices was like entering the lair of a Bond villain. Okay, he's like, a Bond villain.
I could see
understand
that.
What he was saying. Anyway,
Bendis would be Goldfinger.
A true gentleman.
Anyway, so did anybody watch Green Lantern Animated Saturday?
No, I didn't get.
I
a
don't
chance.
Get Cartoon Network in HD.
So you would watch it in standard definition?
Well, no.
Yeah,
I never look at my non-HD channels because they're separated. Because we have Fios. So there's like 300 channels in between regular and HD. So I never even...
Do you have this DVR thing where you search on Green Lantern and tell it to record?
Right, but I'm saying I would have to remember that. And I, like... if it's out of sight, it's out of mind. Usually, like I just
so it was
so
a repeat of the preview. If anybody saw the one they showed a few months ago, and it was they introduced Hal in who's the guy that says Poozer all the time?
Kilowog
and Ganthet and the Guardians. and a couple red lo- red
sounds
lanterns.
Like a band name.
Is it like
Gambit
3D animation, like Clone Wars?
Yes, it is very Clone War animated thing.
I probably wouldn't like it then, because I usually only like Cell animated.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the even like I don't mind Clone Wars animation, but this one looked a little more like I don't know if I like. Bubbly kind of look to it. I didn't think it fit like Green Lantern. I thought it should have had a little. Even Clone Wars has a little more like edge to it. You know, a little too much sometimes, actually.
And I watched Young Justice, which I know is just a new season for an old show.
Yeah,
I really liked it to the point where I want to go back and watch the first season.
They put a lot of cameo characters into that. I was watching an episode that had Zatanna.
Zatara. Captain Fate.
That's one I'll buy if it comes out.
Zatanna, Zatanna.
Like tomato, a complete tomato. Season.
Is it Zatanna? Is it Fate? Captain Fate? Yeah.
Dr. Fate.
Dr. Fate.
Ah, you were in the podcast now.
I'm out.
Jeez.
But yeah, it had Dr. Fate and it was pretty good.
Was Kyle Rayner in it?
No.
I love Kyle. I'm a big fan.
Do you?
Of Kyle.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to talk to Ron Moore sometime.
Yeah. Oh man. So is this in the continuity of the recently released DC animated films?
No. Don't believe so.
Is it a new ongoing cartoon series?
It is not a new
well, it
ongoing.
Has been.
There was one season, this is season 2, episode 1.
Ah.
So it picked up at the end of the last season where apparently Zatanna had guest starred at one point. And she was there visiting, and they were like, oh, so are you going to be allowed to join? And she's like, I don't know if my dad will let me. And then, I won't ruin the rest of the show for you.
I thought the choices of characters that they put on were kind of funny. They make Robin the leader still.
Well, it came,
but he's a lot younger than the rest of the group.
It came out at the same time as Brand New Day.
Blackest Night.
Brightest Day. Mm. So it has the new Aqualad in it.
Yeah.
When did Aqualad get like little metal wings
the Brightest Day version. It's like wings? Black Mana's son.
Little metal things on his shoulder
but
he could shock.
Cuz Aquilad
Dick Grayson
was,
Robin. It's
his,
Dick Grayson Robin, Wally West Flash.
Yeah.
This new Aqualad instead of Garth. And then Cassie Wonder Girl.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very straight.
Yeah. Like it's a really. And Superboy.
Yeah. And, Connor Kent, Superboy.
Yeah.
And they introduced. Can I tell you who they introduced? Or
Miss Martian.
Well, Miss Martian was in there, too. Yeah. But Shazam and.
Captain
Billy Batson?
And Zatanna.
Oh, as members.
Just members. She's cool.
Yeah. But
wait, are we on Young Justice now?
Yeah.
Okay. But it
is
has.
That odd? Isn't she older? Why would she join Young Justice?
She is a young. She's a young.
They make her younger in that. Oh, I didn't.
But
know
like
that.
With
her
the
dad's still alive and stuff in the
yeah, it occupies a very strange kind of continuity because of the new 52 relaunch. Like half the stuff, is non-existent anymore. Like Wally West and that. I'm fairly
I feel like
certain.
That's where it should be, though, that the cartoon shows are separated from these comic books.
Yeah.
It works. It's like two different.
But it's funny because they introduced Aqualad into the cartoon because Aqualad was new during Brightest Day, and now Aqualad doesn't exist.
So who else saw Justice League Doom since it came out last week?
I'm actually getting it tonight.
I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah. We don't want to talk about it.
Next week.
All
right. Yeah, that'll be good or something.
I heard it was good, so.
Did you see any of the previews? Like, could I mention characters that are in it and ask you your thoughts on that?
I saw previews.
You mean like Cyborg?
Like Cyborg being a member of the Justice League and Star Sapphire being a villain?
Give like a.
Well, Star Sapphire was a villain. Like, prior to Geoff Johns' relaunch.
Oh, really?
Like, Star Sapphire.
She existed before.
Yeah, the whole thing with Green Lantern going back to the Silver Age, Hal, is that Hal Jordan was Green Lantern, and Carol Ferris was in love with Green Lantern, but not with Hal. Typical Silver Age romance. But then what happened was she got infected by the Star Sapphire. And when the Star Sapphire was originally introduced, she was a villain.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
Yeah. And so it was one of those...
She didn't have the ring. She had the Sapphire, like, on her
head. Yeah. It wasn't ring-based. So she was a villain, and the whole thing of it was,
Hal knew it was Carol. So he couldn't hurt her, you know, because he was in love with her.
That explanation makes that whole
thing make sense.
Makes there's a scene in there that makes a lot more sense now that you've said that.
And the cyborg, you know, I haven't watched it, but obviously there's the precedent with the new Justice League.
The cyborg felt forced because of the new Justice League.
The only thing I'll say is that it sounds to me that both Jeff Johns and Dwayne McDuffie, who did this, McDuffie is a cyborg fan, because didn't he try to introduce him during his run?
I'm dancing.
Didn't McDuffie introduce Cyborg during his ill-fated run of Justice League?
I didn't know he had one.
Well, not introduce him, but put him on the team. But the precedent for all of that is that back in the 80s, on the Super Friends cartoon, the last season of Superpowers, they introduced Cyborg as the point of view.
But the Wonder Twins weren't there.
Well, right, this was after Wonder Twins. Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But he was he was the point of view, like, rookie, like, new superhero that got inducted into the Super Friends. I'm telling you, like, if you ever, like, track, I wouldn't recommend buying it, but find the season. It's called I think just the Superpowers. It wasn't called Super Friends. But it included Firestorm and Cyborg.
Oh, yeah.
Watch the, like, find them on YouTube or whatever, watch them. Then go back and read Jeff Johns' first arc of Justice League, and you'll realize that he was writing an episode arc of the Super Friends. Like,
gotcha.
But so that's that. There is a precedent for him being on Justice League, but it's a cartoon precedent, not a comics precedent. Because when the Super Friends was going, that was when New Teen Titans was like outselling X-Men. Like, it was one of the top books on the rack.
You mean, like, right now?
Okay.
And so Cyborg was, like, a new character, so they were trying to, you know, give him exposure. So he ended up on Super Friends.
The, you know, the cool thing I find about them switching up the characters, though, from being that this is kind of loosely based on Tower of Babel, is that if you've read the book, you already kind of know the traps that they use, the Batman set up, stuff like that. With this, it's kind of fresh. So I thought that was kind of neat, actually, that you get a different bunch of people.
I would say it's probably my favorite of the animated movies so far.
Better than the Crisis one, the Earth 2, with Peter.
That was good.
With Peter Weller as Owlman.
No, it wasn't. It was James Woods.
James Woods. You're right, not RoboCop. I apologize, James Woods.
I don't know if I've seen
Enemy of the Podcast.
Really? Oh. What's it called? Like Crisis. It's called Crisis something.
I'll have to see that one.
That one is excellent.
Hey guys, while Colin has a reprieve from customers, let's talk about the Bleeding Cool article.
Oh, sure.
So how'd you get hooked up with Rich Johnston?
Well, it had nothing to do with Rich, actually. It was Keith Davison, who's their not PR guy, but their marketing guy, who was down the last 2 years down in Dallas. And last year I talked to him, and it was kind of funny because we did what we called speed dating. It was round tables, and you'd get 10 minutes as a small group of four or five to go to each publisher's table. And either that was for them to give a pitch or listen to concerns, things like that. And as we sat down, he said who he was and, how's my stuff doing in your stores? And one guy said, I won't even allow it in the door.
Wait,
now, Avatar does, their big one is Cross. They do Lady Death. Right now they're also doing Ferals. They've done Caligula.
Stitched
right now. War Goddess.
No, Flies in the Scope.
So a lot of Ennis stuff, Warren Ellis stuff, Mike Wolfer, things like that. Like Jason Burroughs does a lot of their art. That's where Rip was before he went over to Marvel for a little bit. And so one guy said, I don't even allow on the door. Another guy, don't put it on the shelf. It's subs only. I forget what the other guy said. And I said, I love your stuff. It sounds like crazy. The customers are loyal. I think, you got top creators, at least top writers. The art's good. It varies per book. But and so this year, before we went down, I emailed him hoping to get some Cross stuff and said, I'll see you there. And so I ran into him there. We were talking. He mentioned they wanted to do either. I forget, it's probably a weekly column. He wanted it to be retailer based. So when I came back all of a sudden Thursday, I got an email inviting me to participate. I said, sure. They emailed me the list of questions that I answered. And Friday, I just typed out my answers, and boom, it went up yesterday.
So. Awesome. And Pittsburgh Comics is the subject of Dealing Cool number one.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So on bleedingcool.com, you have to search. It's on yesterday's. You have to go back one page now because so much news gone on there. But yeah,
a couple pages by the time this airs.
That's true. But still pretty cool. I was really excited. And the response has been really good. Like, I was worried that the comment section was going to be a little, you know, brutal, as they always are.
I laughed at the one comment.
Some Starman 76 posted and said really nice things. So.
That's not what you said earlier.
I laughed at the one comment that spoke about the temperature sale.
Yeah, there were two comments on that, and that was kind of funny. One guy, I guess, apparently lives somewhere it's quite cold. He's like, that wouldn't work. One guy who, I guess, lived in Phoenix was excited about his story.
120% off. Yeah. You pay us to take your comics away.
So I didn't really want to comment and say, well, they might do something slightly different. But I think overall it was pretty really well received. He emailed me this morning and said it was a hit. You know, it's been really good. So.
That's because they read about your store. They hear about what we get to enjoy as customers. And they're all jealous. Because you're not a creepy, antisocial... lord of your own realm kind of comic shop owner.
One of the things that I enjoyed was what kind of promotions do you, what would you recommend? Mostly, you know, like writing at two other stores, and that was the fun part I had. Yeah. We're, you know, trying to make it customer oriented. And like I said about the St. Patrick's Day one, you know, making it, you know,
Green Lantern books?
Well, not just all green, but making you guys have to tell me why it should be, you know, making it audience participation. That's what I was looking for. So. But it was fun, and so far the feedback's been good. Even a couple retailers have been giving me nice feedback. So
I can see, though, you know, that whole temperature thing. Like, give it about 2 weeks, and you're going to have these nasty emails in your inbox from other retailers.
Well,
like,
I mean,
won't leave me alone that.
But I only did it in February when we had unseasonably warm days. You know, some people going temperature sale today because it was, what, 68 or something out there.
But that tells you how good it went because you did it, you know, February and a little bit of March last year. It's been a year.
Yeah.
And every month, people, you know, were coming up to you, when's the next temperature sale?
When's the next temperature sale?
Probably sometime in November.
Oh.
Sorry.
That's stupid.
But yeah, that was good. One book, just while I can, just fun being busy. This is kind of like how the red chair dialogues on Saturdays are, where I'm in and out. One book that came out today that I just wanted to talk about, because it's Manhattan Projects by Hickman. And I really haven't read much of his, some of his early stuff. I don't know, not necessarily the art, but the square word balloons and the typewritten, and it just, I don't know, just I never dug into it. I tried his Fantastic Four. It was okay, but when it went to FF, I didn't stick with it. So I kind of approached this one with a lot of apprehension, just going, I don't know what this is going to be. But it was really, really good. I don't want to give anything away, but it's basically Oppenheimer is joining the super secret scientist group who are doing all these crazy things. And it has a huge twist at the end that was just really, really good.
Do you need a PhD in physics like his last?
Mm-hmm. No, you don't. You don't need to understand anything. It was really, really cool. Lots of neat ideas he's throwing out there.
He seems like a, you know, Grant Morrison in the making. People either love him and will follow him to the ends of the earth, or they're like, I don't get it.
Yeah,
and
I've been just more of the I don't get it, but yeah, at least the first one I thought was really good, and I can't wait for the second one, which is rare.
I've read S.H.I.E.L.D. twice, and I still don't know.
Yeah,
what
I read the first
about
one. I never went back for the second one because I missed reading that Infinity issue, and I sold out of it. So I never went back.
That's a crazy book. I want to drop it every time, and then it's like, oh well, that last one was so amazing.
I got to admit, there's a small part of me I'm still read. You know, when I was reading it, but I'm still flipping through it, wondering when Nick Fury's going to show up.
But so that was just my one shout-out for this week. I haven't read much. Yeah, I read that in The Boys last night. The Boys was fantastic. It was
shocking.
Excellent. I know. it was really good. But I haven't read a whole lot lately. I still haven't even read previews.
Children's Crusade number 9.
Well, you know, it, I have a stack of 1 through 8 to
we
read.
We should have made you make a bet with us. That because would, you said it wasn't going to come out before AVX.
But here's the thing. Yeah. Here's where Marvel drives me insane. Guess what's coming out next week? The hardcover. No, the hardcover of Children's Crusade.
Well, yeah, because they got to get the hardcover out so you can read it before.
It'll be shrink-wrapped. I won't be able to read
it. Is the zero issue the week before number 1 or
I think
weeks.
So. I think it's the last week of March.
And then first week of April. Right.
But now, order-wise, I treated it much more as Book of Skull than as a prequel to...
Which probably AVX. Means it's going to be huge. And
could be. It might be, but you saw how many Book of Skulls I still have on the shelf. So, or did.
But that was a prelude, not a zero.
Okay, the difference being...
Wait... That was the original story, not the reprint of the Cap issues, right?
Right.
The Book of Skulls.
I thought it was both. I thought it
no,
was
no, they were two. They were two different books.
Oh yeah.
All right. Is he in trouble?
No.
Okay.
I didn't know if you wanted me to come back.
Okay.
There was there's actually some interesting news on my Facebook. Is anybody familiar with Toonzam?
Yeah, they had some water damage.
They had a lot of water damage. Over the time.
Yeah, they had stuff in storage.
They make the news.
I saw it on CBR, actually.
It's going to be on WTAE.
Yeah, they had stuff in storage, and the storage place leaked.
Yep. Did they lose any artwork?
No, no artwork, just like a lot of like merchandise and stuff.
That place is really cool, though.
What exhibit did you see there, Adam?
I saw when they had the superhero exhibit over the summer.
Ah, excellent, excellent.
Yeah.
What was your favorite piece?
Let's see. They had a lot of Jack Kirby stuff there. That was kind of cool because you don't see Jack Kirby like actual artwork very often.
I know that's not available on every street corner.
No, but it was really fun just to see that and have that available to see.
I saw that on opening night. I would say that my favorite was a tie between the Neil Adams Batman convention sketch and the original page of the Frank Miller Daredevil.
Oh yeah, that was there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Who was the artist they brought in the originals on Comic
Jerry
Book Robin. Man this week?
Jerry. Oh, that was Bob King.
No, Batman. It was this weekend. They brought in 3 original pages from.
Oh,
Surfer.
That was from that was John Buscema. That was from an original Surfer. Graphic novel. Yeah.
The Parable.
It was Silver Surfer, and then they had a bunch of Silver Surfer.
Yeah, but I couldn't remember who the artist was.
I think
was.
I have it actually.
Yeah.
Did he?
We'll get
pay?
Back to that. It's original art. That's. I think he did, but that's each piece is different. Yeah, and that's what the market will bear.
Did you watch Joe?
Oh, Joe!
I think it was 3 original pages. I want to say he paid $9,200 for the 3 pages.
John Buscema.
$9,200 for 3 pages. Is he dead? If the artist is dead,
Sal's dead.
Yeah,
John's still alive. Or no? Is it no? John's dead. Sal's still alive.
Yeah.
That's great. Do I look like a walking obituary?
Were they splash
page? They didn't show them close enough to tell.
Uh-huh. Well, did they look like they had panels? Oh, yeah, you mean you couldn't even tell if they had panels?
I mean, a lot that can affect the prices. Even if a character appears in costume on the page, that pushes the price up. If it's a cool figure drawing,
I would say the only way you would pay that much for John Buscema as if they were splash pages.
Yeah.
Or like a cover. Yeah.
Well, I guess that...
I mean, because that... With those pages, you're buying them more for the artist than the character. Because,
Well, I guess
John
that
Buscema
book was pretty popular from the way they were acting. I don't know.
It was a...
I don't know.
If it was one of the graphic novels, there were like 2 or 3 Silver Surfer ones. So,
but the unicorn was on that show this weekend. Who watched it besides me?
The unicorn? What are you talking about?
Everybody else watched it?
I dropped the show.
What, Comic Book One?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it.
Some hot girl came in and was willing to spend like $1,500 on 3 X-Books.
Oh, yeah, she was. And
it was Hulk 180.
What did they give it to her for? Like 12? Was it 1,200?
12 or 1,400, but she was buying them for herself. It was Hulk 180...
181
and giant size number 1.
Wait, well, her husband got her interested in it.
She got Hulk 181 and giant size X-Men number 1 for $1,200.
And Hulk 180. It was like 14.
Oh, 180.
180, 181, and giant size X-Men.
And there were 3 books.
Wow. Giant.
They must not have been in good condition.
The 181 was not.
Yeah. Well, because 181 and giant size by themselves go for that much. Like,
yeah, they threw them out.
And that's that's an unslabbed price.
These were all unslabbed.
Yeah. But it was just nice seeing them selling comics.
Well, yeah.
You know, I have to say, for as much grief as I gave them the first two episodes, these last two actually have been pretty good.
But I've never seen a girl come in being like, yeah, let's drop $1,500.
Well, no, you don't.
She was
clearly
a plant.
Yes. Right, but it was nice to see him actually dealing with comics instead of dealing with lobby cards and dealing with,
how much,
even the making of the commercial was kind of fun.
And I would say if a female customer was coming in and spending that kind of money on books, doesn't surprise me at all, it would be X-Men books.
Yeah, I agree.
You're right.
But, I mean, look what we had today. Even, you know, the girl came in and, you know, you loaded her up with $150 worth of graphic novels. So, you know, it certainly happens.
He's a pusher. Like
there's
he's
a
teacher.
Stereotype on the female comic book reader. Sorry, this is Dan. I came in late. I was waiting for a chance to jump
Who
in.
Who are you?
You're not allowed to talk. You're just allowed to sit there.
The door is like, that way.
I need some time to warm up.
Just window dressing.
But, I think there's a stereotype of the female comic reader who reads, like, the Vertigo books, who reads the real indie stuff. And so when you said, like, a girl would be buying X-Men books, I was like, I wouldn't think a girl would be buying.
Well, no, what I'm saying is, like, if I was expecting a, like, buying, like, wall book, you know, expensive wall books, X-Men would be the group I would, like, that wouldn't surprise me because I've known a lot of women over the years, when I talk, oh yeah, I'm comic books. X-Men, like X-Men, seems to be
something
a book
about the
that
cartoon
of,
in the '90s.
See, that's interesting to know. I mean, just not knowing,
like for superheroes,
not knowing any female comic book readers.
I don't.
I'm interested to know what they are interested in.
You know what it is?
What were the graphic novels you sold today?
Oh, today, Chew Proof. And on the and
I then bumped her into Cowboy Ninja Viking.
So, yeah, so on the base,
like super dinosaur.
Yeah, like
more, she
no, would have been your stereotypical.
Yeah, she would have been very stereotypical. But still, I mean,
but like for instance, my wife, not a comic book reader, but when you know we met and she found out that I was a huge comic book fan, her thing was I love the X-Men, and she I've met a number of women over the years that like if you're talking superhero comics. A lot of them seem to know the X-Men. And I think Adam's right. I think the cartoon played a role.
Good job, Adam. Well, what's interesting is I've tried to get my wife into comics. And so the things I tried to start her with were, you know, what we think are sort of obvious, like Kingdom Come, like Alex Ross, you know, something that's a little more on the realistic bent, at least artwork-wise. And, you know, I gave her all the different, those DC, those giant treasury-sized DC books that Alex Ross did, thinking that would be, you know, a great starting point. I bought her a bunch of Wonder Woman books. She loves Wonder Woman, just has a bunch of Wonder Woman, you know, tchotchkes. But the actual comic, she couldn't really get into. And one day, she just picked up off of one of my shelves a Runaways.
I was actually waiting for you to finish to recommend.
And it was, I mean, obviously it's something she wanted to read. She heard the story. She was intrigued by that story. So that's how she got into that. And she will read anything that the Runaways are in now.
Well, see,
she picked it.
Well, see, it's funny you say that because I, you know, when my wife and I, when we moved in and she saw my comics, you know, eventually curiosity
she took
left? Hold.
Oh, no.
No, eventually some curiosity took hold, and she was like, you know, I'll give them a try. What do you recommend? And I'm like, I don't know because I'm a superhero guy, not a indie guy. I was like, but on the internet, they always say, you know, guys, if you want your, you know, wife, girlfriend to get into comics, give them Y.
Yeah.
And so I said, the internet says you should read Y. And she read it.
And the internet's
and she loved
not wrong.
It. And she, like, tore through the series. The only mistake I made is when she was asking this, the last volume of the trade had not come out yet. So she got to volume 8. She's like, okay, I'm ready for the next one.
Yeah.
I'm like, it'll be about 2 or 3 months.
You know what's...
But she went from Y to Runaways. And then, because she loved the X-Men, she was like, I want to read X-Men. She's like, but you've already told me enough about the comics that I know I would be like, you know, all the Claremont, like, and so I was like, well, here's Ultimate. So she tore through the Ultimate series and loved that.
You know what else might work in the X-Men's favor with girls is the soap opera that goes on between Phoenix, Wolverine, and Cyclops.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You know? And we'll throw in Emma now.
That's true. But
there are just as many appealing male characters to women in the X-Men as I think there are appealing female characters to guys.
You know what? I don't think it's just that, though. I think it's that, unlike all of the other books out there, it relates to a lot of people because it's a group of people.
It's just as much interpersonal interaction as it
is. And they all have a common problem that I think a lot of people have in real life, which is discrimination. And I think that just works for anybody. As opposed to, like, Spider-Man. You might be able to, or...
Well, it's, Spider-Man appeals to all of us because he's the dorky, nerdy kid who gets hit with powers and gets a hot supermodel wife. Of course, that's what we want to read about. Yeah, but,
total fan service.
But it's like, but I love it. My wife.
I mean, the realism Spider-Man. Of it. You know,
she's like, I don't like Spider-Man. No, she's not, I don't get him.
She might not be allowed to come.
It's because he is the dorky, not confident. So I think, I'm not a psychologist. I hope I don't get slammed for being a misogynist. That's just...
I know. As soon as I started in this, I'm like, I am in trouble, and I'm not trying to...
But no, but I mean...
But she likes Batman, right? Nobody dislikes Batman.
She didn't. She actually does not like the Nolan movies, which is that's her only exposure. She does read Fables now. I got her... I've never read Fables, and based off of her reading, I got her Fables on a whim for Christmas because we were watching the ABC show, and she loves it. And I knew the whole backstory about, it's not copying Fables, but there's the... So I said, you loved it?
Willingham Sue in one of them.
Is he finally? Because, well...
At least that was what I heard rumor recently. Well,
it's probably the ABC one because that's the one he had a hand in.
Yeah, they had at least the script. I don't know if they filmed the pilot. So, and then a year goes by, and they came out with Once Upon a Time.
But she loves that show. And so I was like, well, it's kind of based on Fables, so try Fables. And she actually told me after, because I haven't read them yet, and I've never read Fables. Like, it was... purely a shot in the dark whether she would like it. She loved it, but she said as a fresh reader, TV show, then comic, she didn't feel like they were that similar. Like, she thought there were enough difference. Like, she didn't feel like she was reading a comic about the TV show.
Well, it was funny. I had a customer in today asking, because the Ferris is out, the first issue is out today, and so I had it on the counter, and he's like, what's this? And I explained the basic principle of family. He's like, oh, like Once Upon a Time. I'm like, it's the other way around. Once Upon a Time, the book's been out for a lot longer. But
Buyer Ferrest. Is Ferrest related?
She only likes
it's by the. It is related. I haven't read it yet.
Because I thought Ferrest was an Image Book and Fables is
Vertigo.
Is it?
No.
Yeah. Same writer.
It's same characters, same universe.
It's to give them an opportunity to focus on certain characters that don't get any face time in the main book. Which, actually, this is interesting. I wanted to ask you, Colin, about... You mentioned Adventure Time in the Bleeding Cool article. And sorry.
Don't be afraid of the microphone, man.
I feel like I'm projecting.
Stop touching his leg like that.
So... and I don't know... I don't want to necessarily put you on the spot, but I'm curious about the crossover of people who watch TV show... I'm just getting into Doctor Who. We've talked about Doctor Who, and I only now recognize that there's all these Doctor Who comics.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of curious about those types of comics, licensed or, based on different media, how that works.
Overall, they don't sell that great. Game of Thrones is huge, sells okay. No big numbers. True Blood started off really well, but it's kind of started to peter out. I think people have gotten a little bored with it. Adventure Time, especially, it's based on a cartoon.
Yeah.
When I had nobody asking for it, it's hard to order, you know, go nuts. And like I said in the article, I, you know, if I'd put a zero at the end of what I ordered, it might have been enough. I have 10 more copies of number one coming in
next
week.
Why do you think SpongeBob would do better than something like that? Because you said your SpongeBob numbers are fairly high.
Right, but I think Adventure Time, SpongeBob is more for, well, it's for the kids, too. You know, the 6-year-old brother that comes in can go to SpongeBob. I don't know what target audience Adventure Time is.
A lot of us watch SpongeBob when we were adults. Yeah.
Well, and I think, you know what I think it is? Like, why, you know, the stuff we're talking about that works is animated stuff?
Yeah.
Is because, you know, cell animation, very easy to translate into a comic book medium.
Sure.
Whereas, I think the problem with, like, the Star Wars comics, Star Trek, Doctor Who, any licensed property, especially a licensed property that's a movie or TV show, a lot of times you don't get the number one A-list talent doing it.
Yeah.
And they're so hit or miss because if the artist doesn't draw the guy, the way he looks in the TV show, people are turned off immediately.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you Doctor Who doesn't look like Doctor Who.
But which Doctor Who?
But I mean, you know, like the Star Wars comics are so hit and miss, and it's usually, can I pick this up, flip through it? Okay, that's Luke.
Well, and the other thing is, I think there's a continuity issue. You know, Dark Horse had been putting out the Buffy comics so long that had while the show was on. And didn't relate back to the show, so I would never read it.
But now that the show's over, it's huge because they are
in continuity. So, you know, I think that plays a lot into it.
Yeah.
Part of my problem, too, was with Adventure Time. I didn't know anything about the show. I'd never watched the show. And again, no one came in saying, I'm excited about it. When you hear zero from you guys and, you know, the people listening, it makes it hard to say, oh, I'm going to order 25 of this because... Yeah.
And we were talking today, you know, a lot of those that happened, like the Adventure Time, the Prophet, they're books that none of us know anything about, we're not interested in, nobody tells Colin, and then Tuesday night, an article goes up on Bleeding Cool that says, oh my gosh, you got to get Prophet, it's going to be the most amazing thing, and if you miss out, you're going to be...
The worst comic store
you know,
ever.
It's advertising in like like the best way, because it comes across as news... But then suddenly everybody's in here asking for Prophet 21.
Right.
And you said Prophet 22.
I sold one. You know,
I stay away from that article or anytime they do one of those articles.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, though, I come in just, I'll notice something on the shelf and I'll say, oh, wait, this is that book that Bleeding Cool was saying was sold out everywhere. You have a bunch of them. Yeah. So it's not,
It's not uniform. Like Glory was same studio, you know, the Extreme Studios, everything. Didn't sell at all, so I don't know what the answer is.
So isn't Ferrist Adam Hughes returned to interior art?
No, he just did the covers.
You're thinking of Watchmen 2.
Yeah,
he's
thinking that he's doing the Dr. Manhattan book.
Phil Jimenez is doing.
Why did I think he was doing interior?
He did a nice wraparound cover, very pretty wraparound cover, but
yeah, and he'll be doing covers at least for this first story arc, which I'm guessing they're all going to pretty much be 6 issues. They're going to roll the sporadic Cinderella miniseries into this series. So they're already saying that they're going to have one, but, you know, that's at least 6 months away. and I don't even think it is the second story arc. But, I'm excited for that. Did Night Force come out?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, What is Night Force?
Night Force was an awesome 80s book. I think Mark Wolfen wrote it. Gene Colan drew it. They were going to do a hardcover, but it got canceled.
Did it get canceled? They changed it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the spiritual sequel to Tomb of Dracula from Marvel.
There you go. Just a bunch of guys, you know, the Monster Hunters.
Book. Yeah. Monster Hunter. I had never heard of it. Saw the solicit and said, "This is a book. This is the book for me." I'm really excited to read it.
Cool. But Dan, I'll put money. You hate it.
Why?
No, Dan doesn't hate everything. Right up my alley. It's like not.
Dan only hates Marvel. Come on.
No, that would be you.
it's like the B or C or D level characters. Like I'm just always intrigued to see what a writer can do with these sort of unknown quantities.
That was one of the comments I made when part of the Bleeding Cool article was, you know, pick some of your guilty pleasures, and I put X Factor on that list.
Yeah,
because I do love it, and it doesn't get the love it deserves. I mean, it sells better than regular Victor Gershler X-Men, but
well, can
what
I,
doesn't?
Can I point out why I dropped it?
Okay.
dropped the X-Factor?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's been really good.
It's probably been over a year since
okay.
I dropped it.
Okay.
And the reason why? I dropped it was you have to give the heroes a win once in
right,
a while.
Right, right.
And I dropped it right. the issue after Madrox absorbs Cyclone's baby.
Oh, okay.
It got fun after that.
Well, yeah it was like how
was that whole Rain saga with the baby.
That got long. But the fact that Siren wanted to kill him and the guilt over something that he didn't even do, it was.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm moving into this phase where I want, you know, the real swashbuckling. I know everybody's using that word nowadays, but I want these real, like, exciting, you know, I like when Peter Parker gets the girl, sorry, you know, like, I want that kind of book. Daredevil, I dropped Daredevil right at Shadowland because I couldn't believe it, yeah. And then came back around. Yeah.
You know what's funny you mentioned Daredevil is, I generally agree with you, you know, the reason I read superhero comic books is for that bit of entertainment, I want the superhero to win, you know, yeah. Superman's always going to win. I don't want to read a story where Superman, you know, gets beat down by Lex Luthor and, you know, all that. But Daredevil is the one comic that I love because he's the guy that you can throw anything at. Yeah. Like, the absolute, you know, worst thing any other guy would jump off a bridge and Daredevil's, like, still fighting.
Well, that's why they give Daredevil so many trophies.
Oh, I was going to say, where are you going with this?
In the bedroom.
Yeah.
But with yeah, with Daredevil, I always go back to professional wrestling, and I haven't actually watched pro wrestling in a few years now, but it was always good guy gets beat by the bad guy, you know, on, you know, the weekly shows for a month.
But on pay-per-view,
the good guy gets the win. And it's like, and they had this, you know, cyclical thing where you knew that, you know, the guy was going to eventually win out, and that's what I need to see in
have
comics.
Have you been reading Mark Waid's Daredevil?
Yes.
Okay.
No,
I
say, oh,
yeah, if you totally dropped it, then
no,
you
that's
should.
What I'm saying. I came back around.
Now, I did read recently that it's supposed to take a turn for the negative.
Well, it's Daredevil. It's Daredevil. Yeah. You can't have that Silver Age swashbuckling happy-go-lucky.
It has to do that with any story, though, because you can't just have ops all the time.
Yeah, yeah,
you have
I'm
to fluctuate.
To
oh, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
But see, I do want to see Lex Luthor beat Superman down.
Well, because for like
know,
a story, because you
know
he's going to come back.
Right.
But I just mean like as a general rule.
I want, like I said,
Dan was kind of getting at
beat them down.
Like too much.
And then you got to throw the guy a bone. You know?
Yeah, but that's how life is for some people.
Well, there was
and that's why I don't want to read about
that's
it.
That's why we read
these are comic books. This isn't real life.
Yeah, the reason I made the comment about X-Factor was just he's taken a group of pretty much, I don't want to say useless characters, but pretty much useless characters and made it an interesting story.
How's
Strong Guy and Shatterstar and Richter, you know, not
B and C
level
characters.
Yeah, definitely
B and C what's his name?
Firestorm.
Evolution Guy.
Well, isn't
Darwin, he's not in it anymore.
Isn't Havoc coming back? Which,
yeah.
Well,
Havoc and Polaris, but they really haven't.
Well, yeah,
because
basically,
okay.
They had an introductory issue with those two, and then they switched to a Madrox story.
It was a point one.
Was it a point one? Okay, that Madrox
story.
But
see, you know, you're upset, but I was in Peter David's X-Factor the first time around, so that Havoc Polaris, like, when I heard that those two were coming back, I, like, was jumping up and down. Like.
Well, the original Peter David run on X-Factor is a perfect example. That was a really fun book.
And the only reason I read it, I was telling Colin the other day, is they used to do, like, Marvel subscriptions on the action figures. And I mailed one away, and I got X-Men and X-Factor.
Oh.
And the first issue I got was Peter David's, like, number 71.
Yeah.
Remember in either junior high, I think I had done the same thing. I was getting the, you know, check the mailbox every day.
Yep.
My Hulk there was my Spider-Man, my Peter Parker, my Marvel team up.
They still do that?
They still do subscriptions, but I don't know what's involved.
I was curious because in the small print, it still says you can subscribe.
Yeah.
And the prices are really good.
Right. Like, well, that used to be the thing, because they did it like magazines.
Yeah.
You saved a lot of money.
I had a collection come in where the guy had subscriptions to all the books, and he basically used that as the bag and the board. So these 7-8 long boxes worth that I had to take out, each one out of the subscription bag. Some were still, I might even have another collection that came in like that, still sealed. So I honestly don't even know what book is in there.
I have a bunch still sealed because I just couldn't wait for them to come, and I ended up buying them at the store.
That's I remember that, because you sign up for the subscription, but the trick is you get it like 2 weeks later.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember it like I sign up for a subscription. What am I signing up for? The X books, because they're most important. I have to make sure I get them. And then it's like, it's on the shelf.
Are they worth more if they're still sealed? No.
Not like that.
Especially because they're
the condition is normally pretty bad on them. The mailman does not care.
I had, for years, I had 2 or 3 of the Spider-Man hologram anniversary issues that I had gotten through subscription that I never opened because of the hologram. And then a few years ago, I was going through boxes and I saw them there. I picked them up and I called my friend and I'm like, you're never going to believe what I'm about to do. I'm trying to tore them open.
Not the same as a poly bag, I guess.
Yeah.
They actually used to put the subscription stuff just not too long ago in the back of the trades.
Oh, okay.
And they don't have those anymore. They'd have them right here.
Yeah.
I think they have to call, they have and to offer the subscription, right? To well, for their magazine
they
status.
Switched over to internet. Like, you, if you go to marvel.com,
actually, this is for trades. They have
I think
issues.
You can find it there if they still do it.
Well, actually, now that you say that, they're probably going to get away from paper subscriptions because they're going to want you to buy their digital. No,
Infinite Comics, man.
I think you have. What? Yeah, I think there is something legally
one of
legally
Bleeding
about
Cool's
it, yeah.
rumors. Infinite Comics.
What's that?
Did you see that on Bleeding Cool like yesterday or the day before?
I'm sorry, Joe Quesada tweeted it.
Oh yeah,
Infinite
I don't
Comics.
Know what that is.
Yeah, and one of the things in the like one of the you know supposed things. What could it be? Was a new digital subscription-based service that included new stuff. Which actually of all the thing of it was is all of his ideas sounded bizarre except for that one. So I was like, I wonder if it's one of those cases where he knows what it is and just buried it.
Like new, like digital only new stuff, is that what you mean?
No, not digital only, but a subscription based like a digital subscription. You know, you pay $60 a year.
Oh, and you just automatically download
right.
to your iPad.
But the trick of what Marvel's done up to now is it's never been new comics. It's always been
there's 6 months.
They're day and date now.
Did you say
right, but not on the unlimited.
Not
the subscription.
Not on the unlimited, yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
did you say it's called Infinity?
Yeah.
He changed Infinity. His Twitter icon to be the Infinity symbol, which
and
said.
Next week, here's the bizarre thing. I think it's this coming Saturday at the Austin Extravaganza, South by Southwest.
Oh, Southwest, okay.
I think used to be a music thing, and I don't know what
it
is anymore.
It's still mostly music, but
apparently Marvel's making a presentation, and it's going to be about whatever this is.
If any of you guys are have watched The Office, the American The Office. They went a few seasons back when I was still watching it. They launched their website and it was called Dunder Mifflin Infinity.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's what I thought of when you said that.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was like real weird. He changed his Twitter icon to an infinity symbol.
I saw that.
And people are like, oh, does this mean Thanos is coming back? Or does it have to do with the post-AVX supposed relaunch? Or is it this? Is it that? Like,
have you guys already covered AVX tonight?
No.
You have not got to participate in AVX, so...
Well, I'm not going to rehash of, you know, anything that you guys
no,
have
we've not. Go for it.
Well, I know you guys were talking about Children's Crusade when I came in, and I've really been enjoying Children's Crusade, and I have a friend who says, oh, I can't read a book if it doesn't come out every month, you know? And I said, yeah,
quarter,
but when it's that
year.
Fun, yeah, when it's that, it was a fun book. It was just a beautiful book. And now that I know that it's just leading into AVX, like, I'm afraid to read this number 9. Like, it's probably not going to end. Just like Marvel's events never end.
It has an end. Did you read it?
Not yet.
I would say it has an end.
I think it's probably more a case where Heinberg had an ending, and they probably just adjusted AVX to his ending to make you think it all tied together, rather than the other way around.
I would say the story, it's one like a movie, when the movie ends and you have everything as an ending, but you definitely go, they left that open for a second.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, the Matrix because, 1, it's not the Matrix
because
2.
Because if you consider the frequency of his books, you know his schedule is crazy enough that he's probably not the type of writer that would sit there and handle editorial, you know.
Well, they said at the beginning that this, you know, there was a reason that Captain America was in his costume. And I thought it was like, yeah, they're just making an excuse because, you know, they were trying to make it more not fit into what's going on. So it's like an evergreen type of story.
I still have no idea when that book takes place. Because Iron Man and Captain America are in their old costumes and they're still friends. So the only time that could have taken place in my mind is pre-Civil War.
Well, no, I mean, I'm pretty sure that they're going to have to tie it into AVX somehow.
They are, but I...
Just because, well, then again, I mean, actually, that book was AVX. I mean, it was What to Do with the Scarlet Witch. We both have a say. You know, she's a mutant, but
you read 8, right? I mean, know the whole, she wasn't in control, and... Well,
yeah, she was parallaxed, but
she got doomed, baby.
She got paralyzed.
She had doom in her.
I was I did read. Well, I didn't read the article. I saw the headline that it's pre-orders are out selling Justice League.
There's a reason for that. That's like I ordered twice as much as I did a Justice League.
But. For promotions or something.
Right. You had to order X amount to be able to have a party. You had to order another percentage to be able to get the party variants and the buttons and everything.
And then once you were at that point, most stores are in that situation. Right.
Well, to be honest, I mean, in order to hit they also added extra discounts based on orders. Right. And it got to the point where I could order 40 more for $5 less. It's like, how do you not do that?
It was a very planned set of discounts. Because you want to get to the point to get all the toys, the bells and whistles. Right. And when you get to that point...
Bells and whistles?
But when you get to that point, it's like, wait, I could get, you know... 50 to 100 more comics.
Well, I don't know that many.
But it was like you get a ton more for less money.
I thought maybe they were like doubling orders, like they did.
They might. They might. Who knows? Because they never tell us that before. That comes after we've already set our orders. But
get 500 in the, are we getting them a dollar pop if you get 500?
You know, the hard part there is because this was a point I was going to make on the Bleeding Cool forums.
Oh, you did, I think.
Did it go?
Because say about Free Comic Day if it doesn't.
Well,
sell,
no, not even that. But my point was when they doubled or shipped on the point one. Rich Johnson on Bleeding Cool said, you know, all decent stores would offer them for a discount. Wow. To do that, and I wanted to post saying I still haven't sold my copies, let alone the free ones. So by selling them at half off, I still haven't made my money back, even though they sent me, you know, all those free. That's so sending free doesn't necessarily mean anything. You know, it doesn't help me
because we had said, you know, if you had probably sold it at full price, you would have made your
money. I would have sold at least half of what I had ordered. Yeah.
So,
I ordered 30. I ended up getting 60. I've sold 25.
But you paid for 30.
Right.
So it's but
I sold
25.
I sold 25 at cost. Mm. So I needed to sell more than 30 to make my money back.
It was an $8 book, right?
Six. And I sold it for $3.
You should have came close to breaking.
Close, but the point is, just because they sent me extra doesn't necessarily mean... Anything.
They made it out like, you know, sell it for half price and you'll sell them all and it'll be...
Did they do that for Defenders?
We got a percentage. We got maybe like half of our Defenders free. Then the weird one they did it on Incredible Hulk 2.
They matched our number of they gave a 50% overship on two, which is great, except I ordered the same number of one and two, so now I got 50% more two than I have one. Where am I going with that?
And Wolverine and the X-Men, it was either issue one or two, they sent you a bunch more than you ordered.
One of them, yeah.
I think it was number one.
But,
that was actually a good book.
But what it came to is I was going to order like 163, and then because of my situation, I had to order 181. Well, heck, if I'm ordering 181, I might as well bump it 19 copies to get the 1 in 200 variant and a second 1 in 100 variant. So that's how I ended up with 200, and then I had to order 25 of each of the party variants, because there's an X-Men exclusive cover and an Avengers exclusive cover, so now I have 250 of them coming. But... And
hopefully
then,
you sell 50.
Hopefully I sell enough to break even, and then if I have to, if I have a ton left, I'll give them away free comic book day. So don't hold out.
You should probably
not buy it. No, but I mean,
probably edit that out.
But so hopefully it doesn't come.
But that's interesting
because it's going to sell out.
But yeah, because all you'll see is that, you know, AVX is bigger than Justice League. Whereas, you know, Justice League, you didn't get like a huge
Justice League. I sold out of 100 and less than that week.
Some people tried to tell you to order 200. You told us we were crazy.
I don't know if I sold out in that night, but I might have sold out.
No, it was on by Friday.
By Friday. I think, yeah.
It was like 2.5 days.
Right, you told me I should have ordered 200. At which point I looked at him and said, I've never ordered 200 of anything. And now...
Yeah.
It's, oh yeah, send me a case, whatever. You know. I'm made of money. Yeah, so.
But it is ironic because you could have sold those 200 Justice Leagues, and we'll see how many APX.
But when you only sold 20 copies of the previous issue, you know, right. I have faith in this. But my faith wasn't unlimited.
Well, you know, that too was an event, and people got caught up in it. I got caught up.
Oh
in
yeah,
it.
That I mean, midnight sale was insane.
That's why I'm wondering if. If obviously this is somehow Marvel trying to build up to, you know, the relaunch of the Avengers books. I don't know if they'll relaunch the X-Men books again so soon. They might. But I think what
Moon Knight.
Well, have you?
But they need to announce
fifth series since I've been open.
Have you heard the rumors that they're going to New 52 the Marvel Universe at the conclusion of AVX?
Bum, bum, bum.
See, no, I hadn't heard the rumor, but I assumed that just looking at, you know, the sales charts.
I heard it from some guy that went to the retailers convention in Texas talking about the rebirth provided by the Phoenix.
They've been back on top of the sales charts since January.
What?
They own the overall sales percentage.
No, but I mean...
That's not true. Right, that's through double shipping. But
it
not the top...
Does not matter.
But not, they don't have the top books.
Not in this store, buddy.
No, but they don't have the top
get
books.
Get out. I don't care about overall revenue.
But
if I'm a business, I care about all overall revenue.
Right, but I think they also... The fact that Aquaman is outselling every one of their books has, you know...
Aquaman's a pretty damn good book right
it
now.
It is, but it's still Aquaman.
What are you trying to say here, Colin?
Like I said, you know, in my Bleeding Cool article, even Suicide Squad's outselling all Marvel for me.
Maybe
you know, Animal Man.
This store wasn't run by a Marvel hater.
I'm not a hater, man.
He just hated on Aquaman.
But back to your point, Dan.
What you guys collectively are buying.
I know.
I think he just hates all of us.
I think there will be a frenzy. At 1 and 2, the question is whether there will be still a frenzy at 6
here,
and 7.
Here's the problem, because it's shipping every other week, I have to have my numbers in for 1, 2, and 3 before 1 even hits.
That was my next question.
So that's where the trouble comes in.
We won't be able to flock 3 after 1.
And because 1, you're doing so obscene, it's like, what do you do with 2?
How are you going to order 2 and 3?
A lot less.
Do you think you'll go... Probably like 75-ish for two.
My gut was 75 because that's about what I ordered on Fear Itself, and I don't see a reason for
can't be any worse than Fear Itself.
Well, I don't see a huge influx of people. And maybe Justice League number one sold crazy, but not everybody that bought number one came back for number two. So a lot of it was just.
But you should put it on your pull list just in case this. Advertising campaign they're doing actually works.
But so, yeah, I mean, I might drop it. I might do 100 just to make sure I have enough, but it'll be interesting to see where we're at, like, at 5 and 6. Yeah.
The other thing, too, that makes it hard to order is the group
Yeah, every team. Issue being by done by a different writer and artist. Yeah, that's going
to
be
But
tricky.
They're all architects. So, I mean, they all have to be good.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean...
Colin Bunn, you rock, man.
You know, we've had a lot of discussion, and I can't remember the last event I've had so many mixed emotions about, because it's such a fanboy event, you know, Avengers versus X-Men, we should all be, like, salivating, but Fear itself left such a bad taste in your mouth, you're just
I have the event fatigue.
But I want it to be good.
Okay,
know?
Three is by Brubaker, four is by Hickman. Both with your favorite artist.
I was going to say.
Mike D. Data.
John Romita Jr.
Junior. That was sarcasm, I could tell.
Did you just pronounce the name incorrectly?
I won't buy
it. Did you just say Diodato?
Did I mess that up?
Dodi-dado.
I specialize in the Italian artists, not the Brazilian.
Your Portuguese is not strong.
But they do, at least thus far, through 2 months of solicits, seem to be holding true to their... It's a crossover in the old-school traditional sense. There's the book, and everything else is within titles, as opposed to making AVX minis.
I think they said that with Fear itself, too.
No. Well, that's what I said. It's only
We had 16 Fear itself.
It's only through two.
One of my...
There's still, eight books worth of crossovers.
Yeah. I don't remember them ever saying that there would be no extra minis for Fear itself.
That was one of my greatest moments of the podcast was when, I think it was you, said, they don't have, Fear itself has far more, and I went and we counted.
There were 16 total, whereas...
Flashpoint had 17. Okay, I'll give you that.
There was way more Flashpoint.
Brief Order, one of them said they weren't going to do a bunch of minis.
Right, and thank
for
God.
Speaking
of crossovers, have you guys got to the DC part of previews this week?
Is there anything that Court of Owls is not going
to
be?
It's not a crossover. You don't have to read them all.
No, not even the Court of Owls, but Teen Titans,
yeah.
Superboy, and Legion Lost are all crossing over. I mean, it's like Justice League International and something else is crossing over.
But these are again more old school crossovers.
Yeah,
good books with books that aren't selling to bump the numbers.
But you got so to me a crossover is kind of like what they've been doing in Teen Titans and Superboy.
Yeah,
where I can read one or the other. Now these books are saying to be continued in. Now that means to me I've got to read the other book to get the story.
Maybe. Right.
Yeah.
But like that Olmec and Frankenstein, I don't think you had to read both to get the whole story.
But
I think it was just the same story sold from one side.
But I will say, as a more old school reader, I don't know why. There's no logical reason, but that bothers me less than when they do the event style crossovers, in the sense of, yes, it's crossing over 5 books, but it's like just the 5 books, and there's no book to go with.
But I gotta buy Legion Lost.
Well, yeah, I hear you.
I mean, I gotta buy books I could care less about, read about characters I could care less about.
But that's
about.
Why they used to do crossovers, is they would take Spider-Man that everybody loved and cross him over with Darkhawk that nobody's reading to bump up Darkhawk.
Well, that, I mean, like, Marvel's doing the same thing with this Daredevil, Punisher...
Yeah,
and what was the third book? I forget.
Then they're doing the Journey.
Well, you do, but trust me.
I have to buy Avenging Spider-Man.
Oh, I don't read Avenging Spider-Man.
Okay, so yeah, that's the problem. Where those three sell very differently.
But here's the difference. Tom Brevoort and those guys never came out and said no crossovers for at least a year.
They said no events. They never said no crossovers.
The Dio said
no.
No
way. They wouldn't be crossing over in the first 6 issues. I mean, you just had...
Technically, Justice League is just one big crossover.
Well, no, but like the next issue of I, Vampire and Justice League Dark are crossing over. So, I don't think he said that. I think you may have heard that. I'm going to say no events, but not no
Which
crossovers.
There haven't been events.
You're always going to have characters appearing. I mean, technically there was a crossover in Green Lantern Corps, what was it, 3, where Martian Manhunter was in there from Stormwatch.
In a way, once in a while you have to have crossovers, though.
Yeah, but it's still, I doubt he said
that. The lines have blurred these days between guest appearance, crossover, and event.
To me, a crossover, you have to read both books to understand.
Also, Matt, you're the Slim Shady of the podcast. You hate everything.
I do hate everything. My coworkers will tell you that.
Colin, you're the Bruce Willis of the podcast. You're like diehard.
Sometimes you come up with a sword. And...
Adam, what? You're like, you're the Luke Skywalker of the podcast. You're like the young guy coming in and so wait, showing us the way. Use so wait, the force, Luke.
Slim Shady, yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah.
Do I get to hit the little free
shot? I don't like where this is going.
No. Yeah.
Who's Jeremy then?
Oh, good question. Who is Jeremy? Somebody help me out.
He's Joe's that. Joe's Brad Pitt's guy it. From 12 Monkeys.
That's save it.
Save with that Dan. Messed up eye.
Wait. More importantly.
Wait,
Dan's trying to
save us. Dan's trying to save us. Yeah.
I'll remember.
No, please save us. Yeah.
Oh, Jeremy, you're like Van Wilder.
Oh, and lots of DC's versions of Point Ones this month too, with annuals.
Damn.
Which is what I call a Point One. Okay. I think is just Marvel's new annual.
Yeah.
And
it's called an annual.
It better not have any annuals. If I have to get a Point One and an annual, there's no point for that.
They get that.
No point.
You're kind of like
Avengers. Avengers and New Avengers.
They had that. Bizarre Captain America X-Men crossover.
Yeah,
you know what the worst one? Actually, now Spider-Man did just have an. They do have annual Spider-Man. That really crappy. Spider-Man, Deadpool, Hulk crossover. Oh, is that what you're
listening?
No. Everybody was talking.
We got a $30 hard cover of
Identity War.
Whatever.
That's a horrible
so Dan,
book.
You were going to save us from wherever we're at.
No, I was going to make the distinction between Matt saying about a crossover and AVX as an event. You know, I think they are two different things. The event has that central, you know, mini or some kind of focus. Where I don't mind either the crossovers where, you know, you just have to pick up another. I mean, it's going to get annoying if they do it every other month. But usually, I feel like they're books that do go together. Vampire and Justice
the
League.
The Legion Lost has had nothing to do with the whole.
Out there.
And as much as I hate to admit it, I like the teen romance section of the new DC, right? Teen Titans and Superboys, like. Twilight of DC.
I'm saying
Superboy getting up? Oh, wait.
What?
I have a feeling that's actually where it's going.
This is one of those crossovers where they're blatantly trying to boost the sales of a book that's
and
not
they're
doing
also
well.
Calling it, and it's kind of an event because they're calling it The Culling, and they're having a book spinning out of the whole thing. So,
but see, that's
you're
what,
getting real close to.
But see, this is what crossovers used to be like. They
but how many
name.
Issues is it?
I
mean, is it just going to be like three or four? So it's going to cost you $12 for the whole event, whereas AVX is going to cost you $200 for the whole event?
No, I'm just saying it's interesting that they're starting to get into old habits and shipping books late and changing creative teams.
One book.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of them have been late. Actually, I love how scheduled this is.
Two issues of one book, and nobody was really stunned.
And you're going to get that because.
And I have to say, the fact that Justice League shipped. Late actually saved last week for me.
Yeah.
Because without it, that, I would have had nothing to sell.
Do you think they thought that out for you?
I don't know, but I had no problem with it.
So I was way behind thanks to this evil thing called Skyrim. So I read about 50 DC books in about 4 days. I'm starting to notice the whole thing that we always complain about Marvel, about them shipping out of order, where I'm reading things like, oh, if you want to see what happened here, go read Superman 8.
Oh,
Superman 8's not out for 2 more months. I saw that like 5 or 6 times just because
did
I was
that?
Reading.
Oh, I think that's.
Yeah, I did see that, but I didn't know it was like two.
Oh, okay.
It was,
trying to lead up to.
It was like, if you want to see this, read Superman 8, which.
Yeah.
Speaking of Superman, that arc just ended, actually.
Oh,
did
thank
anybody
God.
Read it? I didn't mind it. I kind of liked it, to tell you the truth. I didn't like the beginning of the series, but as it kept going, I really enjoyed
it. I liked
where it
the
went.
Story, I didn't like the execution. I didn't like Perez's writing. I thought the art was meh. But I did not like Perez's writing.
I didn't mind his writing.
He's very Silver Age.
Yeah, but I didn't mind that. It gave you, you know, I like reading all the
it's still,
you know, little things.
The
like
whole
reading?
The whole
I,
line
that's why
is
I get
still so it still has that retro Bronze Age feel to like it. The whole line feels like you're reading books from the 80s and 90s again.
Well, it's because half the writers haven't worked since then.
Well, I was going to say about the creative teams. I mean, yeah, there's been some changes, but there are people who it's amazing me that they've done every issue of the book. Capullo is continuing on Batman, and Colin and I were talking about this. That was. I think the reason they're able to do that is they're not double shipping. and yeah. they don't.
20 pages an issue, that helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 shorter books. But I like a consistent, team on it.
And I actually think there have been very few creative changes that have hurt their books. They've actually, a lot of them have helped. I haven't read.
The fill-in artist on Wonder Woman was pretty terrible.
Well, that's a fill-in as opposed to a new team.
It's a fill-in artist?
I did hear the one book I'm excited to read this week, Green Arrow, and Nascenti started.
Yeah, apparently this last one was just crazy.
I heard it got a
six
a
wasn't
big
bad.
Kick in.
That's what I'm saying. They said that one was
but
crazy.
But that was still Jurgens.
Right, but it was different. No, that was.
Yeah, Nascenti.
That was the new guy.
I was
no, Krull's off. This
St.
is the new guy's on. It might
six
be,
was Krull. Seven
was oh, was it? Oh, okay.
Anna Nucci or whatever.
Nascenti.
And Nascenti.
Yeah.
I had the first name, right?
Yeah, close.
Should I judge
that? Nechokoko.
It was Naboo.
She had a good Daredevil run back in the day.
Yeah. That's my favorite Daredevil.
But she hasn't worked since the 90s either, right?
Right. Well, I think she's been an editor.
She's a Slim Shady.
She's been in publishing.
Can I get that as like a ringtone?
That was just a comment. I'm very excited to read her take of Green Arrow because it can't be any worse than the last guy.
I'll be looking for your review.
Okay, question for you. I had a viewer request asked what's going. He said, "What in the world is going on with Detective?" Now I'm behind. I haven't read the last two, so I can't answer that. Anybody that has read five and six,
I don't
well, be able to say anything.
Five wrapped up the skinning.
What I thought was four. Okay, I thought four was
basically
because five started the Penguin.
I think I think the reason people are upset is because issue one of Detective had the greatest cliffhanger ever. And then you get to issue five and six.
They never really got to.
And there was, like, they did a switcheroo on you, and the switcheroo ended up not being very good. And now, I think somewhere along the lines, they realized that where they were going wasn't good. So they just kind of moved the coconuts yet again, and we're going to plow forward with Penguin and hope that Court of Owls gets here soon.
Yeah. You know, that
Court of Owls isn't in Detective.
It is now.
Because I thought when we talked to Scott.
Yeah. They announced that.
Which one is the book that has Red Robin in it? Is that
Teen Titans?
Teen Titans.
No, no, I mean they're putting him into one of the Batman
Batman
books.
And Robin, I think.
No, that one has
I remember him on the cover, but I don't... I mean,
I think it was The Dark Knight.
It's in that book.
It, basically, from issue number one to where we are now, it just...
That's disappointing.
Whereas a lot of the books started shaky and kind of got on track, Detective had an amazing issue one, like,
I didn't like one. I liked two, three, and four, and I've liked five and six.
Of which one?
Detective. I don't know.
I haven't really. Actually, it's the last Batman book on my list right now.
So the thing
that
I was
really
curious about, and the reason Dan was interested, was there's a character named Chase, a woman named Chase in there, and I'm asking, is it the same Chase from Batwoman?
I believe it was.
Well, Abby she's Chase. Got an eye patch, and she's got Cameron a Chase. Sister.
Cameron,
and
Abby Chase was a Danger Girl, wasn't she?
No, that's. Right. I mean, it just confused me because
I
could be.
I think it's
be?
Supposed
Good
to
memory,
be.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But
Danger Girl
was
Wildstorm,
right?
Yeah. Was it?
Oh, no, you know what? I think they moved it over.
But no, J. Scott Campbell owns Danger Girl because they just released the new Danger Girl book.
I was going to say, because, I know they're doing a Danger Girl book, but that's funny. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, but I was curious because this one, Batman seemed to know who she was as soon as they talked about her.
I think it might
didn't
be
Wikipedia,
she,
man?
She debuted.
I did, but it didn't say.
She debuted in Batman. And so, obviously, well, I don't know if that history still counts, but
well,
they've been clashing for a
could
while.
If they wanted to.
And as you, I mean, her...
They can make it
well,
count if they
say,
wanted to. That's
I've been reading Detective with the assumption that it was her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it
Knight.
Veronica?
Well, she's clearly in
Dark
Cameron
Knight.
Chase.
Okay. Cameron Dark Knight. Chase. Robin's going to... Or Red Robin's going to be in Dark Knight.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. Then seeing something,
but
and apparently Suicide Squad's Bat Family issue too, because the latest issue of that reflects the Harley Quinn going after them
because that's because she's
space was
she's
which was cool. I loved it,
which is why I was thinking starting to pick up Detective.
Nice,
because now Suicide Squad's picking up on it, and I bought that first issue, and it just I had to cut some titles, and so I thought, oh, I'll go back and see what's going on. Now it sounds like
I don't want to ruin it, but it wasn't the Joker. It was a new villain.
Okay. The second part of it, to be honest.
Yeah.
The 5 and 6.
I think for me, I was just so wanting it. Like, what are they going to do? How are they? That when they kind of showed you what it was like, aww.
It's so long that I don't remember how it ended, to be honest.
I've really liked the Dark Knight book, though. After a while,
you know, the first two were kind of like,
I don't know if I made it.
It because I like the White Rabbit character, but it got
though it's a Batman book that's just been kind of rehashing old villains, which I like the regular Batman book a lot because it's a new villain. But even with this, it seems to be working. It's just kind of fun to read. I'm like Detective.
And the White Rabbit's new, right?
She's and now we have old, Bane. Old...
I don't think so.
It's kind of funny for me.
There was a Marvel White Rabbit, but I don't think there was a
I think she's new.
Yeah, so there is a new villain.
Well, yeah, she's it's new. It's funny but for she's, me, though, how the... So far, nothing's been explained about her.
For me, the Bat books are on two very clear tiers, because Batman and Robin are like a 1A, 1B to me. Like, I can't decide which one I actually like better. What? And then Batman and Robin has been very good.
Yeah.
It's not to take away from Batman. I love Batman.
We did list that as one of our breakout hits.
Think of a crazy person, and that's who he is.
But then there's a drop from there to Dark Knight.
And you'd put Dark Knight above Detective?
I don't know. I think it's a 2A, 2B kind of thing. That one is harder to...
Oh, hold up. Bobcat Goldthwait in Police Academy.
Okay.
Now, where do you put Batwing into that list? Not a Batman book.
Oh, is that too crazy?
That's a whole other ranking system.
I think Batgirl... 6 was a big step in the right direction for that series.
Okay, I read the first arc.
It's been improvement. But yeah, Dan, if you're not reading Batman and Robin, a good one.
I remember you guys talking about that from the very beginning.
It's been building with every issue.
If we're gonna read 2, I'd say Batman and Batman and Robin. If you're gonna say 3,
you'll probably get a different person telling you.
I would say Detective. Nightwing's phenomenal. Really good.
I mean, I think I had the first 3. I haven't read 6 yet. I'm thinking about maybe
Nightwing is very good.
Do you like Dick as a character, kind of on his own? And
you know, I like how he worded that.
You like Dick on its own? What?
I wouldn't have.
He caught himself before he said that.
I wouldn't have had an answer for that.
All ages gone.
Of course, Scott Snyder's Detective. Right?
There goes our all ages.
And I was. In fact, I wish he was in Batman.
Kind of funny because Kyle Higgins did the only smart thing you could do after that is he's kind of taken Dick Grayson out of Batman's world and he's back to Nightwing's world.
He's
exploring Nightwing's history.
What I think
is
more interesting about Nightwing is it's not so much a Nightwing story right now, it's a Dick Grayson story. Yeah. It's more about Dick out of the costume than it is in the costume.
It's basically doing it's doing one thing no one's ever done with the character, forcing him to deal with his emotional experiences with the Haley Circus. You know, all the stuff that happened with his mom and dad. But
I like that. Yeah, I was surprised that nobody had ever really mined that before.
Did you see Batman and Robin brought back the Nightwing disco suit?
Yes.
So did Red Hood.
Red Hood that he brought back the Nightwing disco suit.
Yeah. I thought that was cool.
It was Red Hood, I couldn't remember. Like I said, 15-4 days.
Yeah, that Perez
kind of blurred together a little bit.
That did Perez design did not age well.
Which two you didn't read?
There were actually a bunch of books I didn't read because some of them I had to read 5 and 6.
Were you
some of them I had just?
Were you one of the guys that dropped Catwoman?
No, I...
Okay, you, no, you love
it. She'll land on her feet.
Oh. And people keep dropping down. I keep, wanting to hit them over the head because it's such an amazing book.
Oh, Gillen March could draw any, whatever. That guy's genius.
Every time I read an issue of that, I'm just like, I can't believe Catwoman's, my top of my stack, you know?
Well, I've done my little Judd Winnick rant before, haven't I, about how every time I buy a Judd Winnick book, I can't believe somebody from the real world.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
If only Puck could write it.
Yeah.
But he's good.
I know. That's why I hate him.
He wrote that Justice League Generation Lost. That was good. He's now got Batwing and...
he did Green Lantern in the day. He did Green Arrow. Classic.
Green Lantern was awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's now got Batwing and Catwoman. They're both good. He's got something new in this. In previews, he's got something new.
Guest writing.
Dark Knight. Dark Knight, yeah, he's guest writing.
But the thing with Catwoman is it gets all the press because of the art. And the art's good, you know, and I understand the press. But the writing, that book is so well written.
Yeah, Six had some over-the-top comments, too, about...
But
they brought the sex out that everybody's been alluding to.
But when you think about what the character of Catwoman has been since the beginning, probably the only two people that have ever really understood Catwoman... and done it embrace that were Jim Ballant and Judd Winnick for two totally different reasons.
I'm so glad you said Jim Ballant.
Frank Miller, didn't know
where
you're
going there. For two totally different reasons.
What were the reasons?
It's Jim Ballant. You don't need to talk about
sexy bag.
No, I'm just.
And I think Frank Miller's one that established that she was a prostitute, right? And this really alludes to that.
I'm not a fan.
No, yeah,
I'm not a fan of Jim Ballant.
Not a huge.
You don't have every episode of Tarot or issue of Tarot?
Episode.
You call these episodes.
This is more than an issue.
You used to call them issues,
but. But I mean, I do think
he is in charge.
That
was in the pilot episode.
Is embracing everything.
That was issue.
Makes
point
that
one.
This is
point
the guy
one.
On Bleeding Cool's Dealing Cool. You can't argue with him. You can't argue with the Dealing Cool guy.
Kind of makes you sound like
I'm a somebody.
Yeah, Dealing Cool.
Hey, little boy.
Oh my god. Jerry Sandusky just stopped.
Hey.
When your car breaks down, you can get a van. Well, I'll paint the side for you.
Is there anything we have not covered?
This was I think we're good.
Over the place.
This has been
Maybe
all
we should
over
call
the
it
place.
A day.
I think we should call it a day.
Or a night.
So.
Yeah, it's night.
The visions of Jim
Adam
Ballant and...
Got it all wrong.
Jim Ballant Catwoman going running through like sugar plums.
You don't think Brubaker and Cook got that?
I thought you were going to.
That's where I thought he was going to.
You have nowhere to end this right now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we'll be back next week with more fun. See ya.
Leaping buildings in a single bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. All I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America. When a soldier out Siberia, rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in a coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's keeping on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Rings, laser scope, rifles ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build a mansion in Asgard and fund the Hellfire Society. Studio is Cerebro, mind patterns and rhyme, cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my rap. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in the system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind during this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this for all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk, for all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs, for all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit, that's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip, yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 6-1. I wanna go Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will battle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time, watch your chain react. Can't lie, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it, yo. Please, shots to your chest. You're rocking a mess like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm love when I skip lunch eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm like Luther when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest. Making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like.